Thank you. So I'm a researcher from the Climate Corporation. As mentioned right now, I'm going to talk about our research on the variability and bias of measurements of soil nitrogen. So for measuring soil nitrogen today, we go to the field, we select a sampling area, and then from the sampling area, we collect a few cores, mix them, bag them, and that becomes our composite sample. We measure that, and we end up with the single measurement of, soil nitrate in the sampling area. The first problem with that is that we don't know if the sampling layout that we have is capable of capturing the underlying patterns in terms of soil mineral nitrogen. So we don't know if this is an accurate measurement or not. The second problem is that we only have one number. It's a single measurement. And we don't know what's the uncertainty associated with this single measurement. And that can create problems for agricultural research and management. So let's say you are in the business of modeling soil nitrogen. And that's what we do in the Climate Corporation. So we have a model that predicts the status of nitrogen during the growing season. So the plot is showing the time on the x-axis, and then the green line is showing the status of nitrogen during the growing season. Of course, depending on the weather and agricultural practices, the status changes during the growing season. But there is a complicated model behind this, and the model has a lot of parameters, and there is a lot of calibration and parameter tuning going on to produce something like this. And then most of those calibrations rely on some sort of modeled versus measured comparisons. So let's say we have a hypothetical example. We go to the field, we have the modeled nitrogen, we go to the field, and we measure nitrogen as well. Now we can look to see how our modeled values compare versus measured values. And we know that in general, our model does a pretty good job in capturing the pattern like we are seeing in here. You have a very small error when we are doing the model versus measured comparisons, but we want to do better. But before going ahead and doing further calibration of the model parameters, we need to verify these measurements. We need to make sure that these are actually accurate enough. And we also need to have some sort of uncertainty threshold around these measurements so we understand in what places our model values are outside the threshold for the measured ones. The goals of this research was to identify the accuracy and bias associated with different soil sampling methods. When we talk about the measurement variability, there could be different sources. We are focusing on soil sampling methods in here, and the area that we are sampling is pretty small. It's a microplot of 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter. You could go to a larger scale or a smaller scale, and then the factors at play can become different. We wanted to understand what factors impact the uncertainty or the variance of soil ammonium and nitrate measurements. And we wanted to know if we can develop models to predict that uncertainty for the single measurements that we get out of fields. For testing the accuracy, we used data simulation. And we used Hydrus 2D software to simulate concentrations of ammonium and nitrate for a sampling area of 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter to a depth of 0 to 15 centimeter. What you're seeing in here is a 2D representation of what was simulated. And as you can see, we have simulations for two application types, broadcast with no specific spatial pattern, and then we have the, as opposed to nitrogen application of anhydrous ammonium. What happens in the field, the applicator moves along the field and injects anhydrous ammonium in an area between the crop rows, and that's where that light band is showing there, where the concentration is the highest. What we're seeing in here is for 14 days after application. Now we have our simulated data, so we can test different sampling methods in silico. So we have random sampling method. Let's say you have 10 cores, you spatially randomly put them in your sampling area. 10 cores, you get the average, and that becomes your sample. The row sampling method, you divide your sample into half and half. Half the samples are taken from the crop rows, and then the other half, five in this case, are taken from the nitrogen band. The average of all the 10 gives you the sample. And then the NWatch board sample, which is physically a board that is passed across two crop rows. The board has 16 holes on it. From each row, from each hole, you take one sample that becomes your 16 cores, and the average will give you the sample. We repeated each of these sampling methods 1,000 times. And that's what this plot is showing. This is a distribution of the sample means, again, for each of the sampling methods. So for our simulated data, we exactly knew what's the average concentration of nitrate in this example. So, and that's what the black line is showing. And for our sample means, we want them to be as narrowly distributed around the average in the sampling area as much as possible. And as you can see, what that means is that every time you're measuring your sampling and you're making a measurement, you're pretty close to the truth that you actually want to measure. So as you can see, the blue line showing the board sample is the most accurate sampling method in this case, and it's narrowly distributed around the average that we want to measure. On the other hand, the row sample, the green line, severely overestimates amounts of nitrogen in the sampling area. But why is that happening? So when you think about row sampling, the theory that the assumptions are that there is a high concentration nitrogen band and there is a low concentration crop row. So I'm going to take a sample here, or five samples here, and five samples here, and then the average will give me the average within the sampling area. So basically, you're assuming that the concentration linearly decreases from the crop from the nitrogen band to the crop row, which is not true in the reality. In reality, what happens, you have nitrogen band with high concentration, and everywhere else is pretty low concentration. So by taking half of your sample from that nitrogen band, you're actually oversampling that high concentration area within the sampling area that you have. So one limitation of the simulation that we have is that in here, we exactly knew where the nitrogen band is. And we took half of our cores within each sample from that nitrogen band. If you go to an actual field doing actual sampling, a lot of time, most of the times actually, you don't know where the nitrogen band is. And the nitrogen band shifts left and right within the crop rows. So you end up not sampling the nitrogen band as often, and the sample might end up being less biased compared to what we're seeing in here. For broadcast simulated data, the sampling methods were performed more or less similarly, the board sample being a little more accurate, the distribution is a little narrower compared to the other sampling methods. But for testing the variance, the precision of the sampling method, we use actual field data. So when we get this single measurement, and we don't have a measure of uncertainty associated with this single measurement, let's say a standard error or confidence interval or anything. But we know that a standard error for a sample is directly impacted or related to the variability that we have in the plot. So if we have a sampling area with large variability, we also expect a larger standard error for our sample as well. And there are a number of factors that impact that variability, the variance of, let's say, nitrate in the plot. In our years of data collection research and in my previous research and also in the data that we have seen from our academic collaborators, we see that when the concentration of nitrogen is higher, then also the variability of mineral nitrogen is higher, then also the variabilities. And this is also what I noticed in your presentation. When the concentration of the leaf SI was higher, also the variability in those plots. So it happens to some other nutrients as well. So nitrogen application method is another thing that we expected to impact the variability in the sampling area in terms of mineral nitrogen. Crop rotation, tillage, and soil texture are the other factors that are hypothesized and researched in the literature, so we wanted to study those. So we went to selected 23 fields that had variable management and environmental conditions in terms of what these factors that we are interested in. These fields are also widely geographically distributed across the U.S. Corn Belt. And within each field, we had a sampling area of 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter. 64 cores were collected from the sampling area using four boards. And these cores were measured individually. So now I have 64 numbers for my sampling area, and I can simply compute the average mineral nitrogen for the sampling area and also get the variance as well. And then we did a series of model variable selection and model fitting to understand what is really impacting the variability of, say, nitrate and ammonium within our sampling area. The factors that we did not find significantly important were soil organic matter, pH, soil clay, CEC, and other things. But we learned that for a given soil sampling time and soil sampling depth, the concentration of, as we expected, the concentration of nitrogen species along with the application method are significantly impacting the variability in the sampling area. And that's what the plot is trying to show. So we have the mean concentration of nitrogen in this example on the x-axis, and then the variance on the y-axis. Please note that axes are in logarithmic scale. So what this is showing is that there is a linear relationship between the log transform concentration of nitrate and variance in this example. We can use the model to predict variance, and that's what we did. And it turns out that we can predict the variance in the sampling area by an R-square of 80% to 90%, which is pretty good for a field data coming from a field study. So now going back to our single measurement, let's say we are given a number, let's say 25 ppm of nitrate comes from our research field. Now, assuming that this is an unbiased measurement and there are 10 cores collected to make up this sample, we know the soil depth, we know the soil sampling time, and we know the application method. And these are easy information to collect and should naturally come with the soil sample. Now we can predict the variability in the sampling area that was sampled. So we can say, okay, your estimated variance for under broadcast is around 125-26. And then with that, we can build confidence intervals. So now we can say for that measurement, we are 95% sure that you are within 18 to 32 ppm. Of course, we can do sample size analysis. If we want to have a narrower confidence interval, then we can advise on the number of cores to be taken from that sampling area. So going back to our modeling efforts, now we can measure soil mineral nitrogen in the most accurate way that we can. And also for these single measurements that we get out from our research trials, now we can develop these uncertainty thresholds. The blue lines on the samples are shown there. And with that, we can understand in what areas our model doesn't quite match the measurements or is outside the measurement uncertainty, and then target our calibration efforts and make our model even better than what it is today. If you are interested to hear about our modeling work at the Climate Corporation, my colleague Andrew is having a poster this afternoon, and he's going to talk about denitrification rates. And with that, I'd like to thank my collaborators inside and outside the company, and the main person that helped me with this work, Nick Cizek, and thank you very much for the attention.
Questions?
Yeah, I was just thinking your three methods, your random, your row, and your watch board.
Mm-hmm.
On the row, is it right that you had some random samples in between? Is there a reason why you didn't take 10 cores from the band if you knew where the band was? How would that change the outcome?
Well, so that's based on the theory of the row sample. Basically, in industry, when people do row sample, the idea is that you take five run between the crop rows and five on the crop rows. In terms of increasing, so we work with 10 cores. If your question is regarding like increasing the number, that was just the number we worked with. Like, we wanted to have like similar number of cores between random and row, and of course with the NWatch board we had a higher number. If you take all your 10 cores from the nitrogen band, you will end up with overestimating the nitrogen quite a bit. I think the idea in here is that you want to understand the average concentration within the sampling area, and you're trying to figure out what's the best sampling method for that.
Anything else? Okay, good deal. Thank you.